Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode.
Okay, hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome back to another amazing coffee conversation. I am so excited to be with you guys again today and so honored, as always, to be joined with our wonderful Chantel today. We're going to be talking about identifying and processing grief, which is a topic that I know we both have a lot of passion for. So I'm really excited to kind of be able to dive into all the different perspectives around grief, identifying it and processing it. So welcome, welcome, Chantel. Thank you for sharing space with me today.
Well, I'm glad we're doing this today. Of course, grief is always a topic that I think is at the tip of the tongue for most people, but it's something that we just swallow back. And so I think it's a great thing that we touch on grief regularly so people can hear a different perspective and learn how to release and not just embody healing with it, but to process through it. Everyone experiences some level of grief, whether it's the loss of a death, like a death, you know, of a loved one, or it's grieving some experience in life or an accident or illness, health issues. Grief is just, it's woven into our human experience. And so when we are able to have the awareness of what grief is and how to heal through it, it makes it so much easier. Because I think a lot of people are kind of trapped in this container of grief and don't really know how to get out of it. And so I think that these are such, like, these videos are, they bring in this heightened awareness of how to climb up and out and how to embrace grief, but at the same time, recognizing that we can move through it and we can become empowered through it and re-embody like a different higher version of ourselves because of the experiences that we've gone through. Because a lot of times grief is just another layer of an awakening, right? And so when we are just stuck in it, we miss the opportunities, I feel, to awaken and to be able to see the lessons or the process of it. And it's because it hurts the heart. And so we try to protect that by staying in the brain and staying stuck in certain areas within our body. And so I just think these are really important conversations to have.
I agree. And I think, like you were saying, I think grief is a universal experience. I don't think there's a single person that goes through life without experiencing some level of grief. And I think there are so many different layers to what goes into that. You know, there is the loss of a loved one and the things that we typically think of when we think of what would cause grief. But there's also, you know, I think you call them secondary grief of, you know, identity loss or when things shift in our lives. Anytime there's a change, there's this essential portion of loss and gain anytime there's a change. And I think that as humans and as spiritual beings, that sense of loss affects us more deeply than I think we allow ourselves to realize. I feel like grief is something that kind of gets swept under the rug, which I find fascinating because there are so many heavy emotions that we're so willing to talk about, right? Especially now, things like depression or anger or anxiety, these things that are starting to come to the light. And yet grief seems to be one that still stays kind of hidden. And oftentimes I wonder if it's because that process of grief really is an undoing of ourselves. There's a necessity of change within us, whether the grief we're experiencing is because of the loss of a loved one or the loss of part of ourselves. And sometimes those are the same thing, but there's grief almost requires us to fall apart a little bit in order to be able to feel it completely. And I'm always reminded of a phoenix when it comes to grief, of that idea of being burned, being released to the ashes before you can be reborn. And I think that, you know, this podcast is all about talking about processing and identifying grief. And I think one of those first steps in processing grief is to let yourself feel it, to let yourself open up and really acknowledge, yes, I'm grieving, whether that's the loss of a loved one or the loss of part of yourself or a change in your life situation or whatever it is that you're grieving. I think we keep ourselves stuck in that feeling by feeling like maybe we shouldn't be feeling that. Maybe there are people who have it worse. Maybe this isn't a typical quote unquote thing that would call on grief, right? And so we kind of sweep it under the rug, feeling like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Someone else has it worse, whatever it is. When in reality, when we can really sit back, as hard and all consuming as it is, when we can take a step back and let ourselves almost sit with it, invite it to the conversation, invite it to the table and say, yes, I am grieving. This is my grief. This is what grief feels like for me today. It almost creates this open space where we can start to process, whereas before we're kind of vacuum sealing it in. And that's going to cause, you know, that feeling of constriction that you get in your chest or not being able to breathe, all of these analogies that we hear all the time. And a lot of times it is because we are kind of vacuum sealing that grief inside of ourselves. And I think there's an aspect to that of a very human instinct of wanting to hold on to it, because it's like those last reminders of whatever it is you lost. And there was this really beautiful phrase that I read when I was going through my own grieving process. And it was, grief is all of the love that you never got to express, and it now doesn't have a place to go. And that phrase, that perspective on grief, really changed the way that I saw it. Because now, instead of it being this burden, this crushing weight that was keeping me down and holding me down, and I didn't know what to do with it, it became this really powerful presence of understanding that, no, this is just the love that I have inside of me. And the area that it was originally directed to, the person that was originally receiving that, that space is open, which means that there's a chance to fill it. There's a chance to redirect a little bit and say, where can I put this love now? How can this become a constructive experience? And it almost gives you a little bit of that power back, because I think grief is such a helpless emotion sometimes, that having that perspective of, this love is ready to go somewhere, and honoring the process that goes into that, I think is a really powerful way to start processing that grief.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is. It's giving the awareness of where that love or that, yeah, the love or the love was going, and who it was going to, or where it was going to as far as opportunities or anything like that. But recognizing grief, as I see it, as it's the umbrella of all the other emotions, like you were talking about depression and anxiety and all that. I feel like grief is actually the umbrella of it. And all these other emotions are the ones that we tend to focus in on. And like you said, like we just brush it under the rug. Oh, like grief doesn't really exist. But yet when you recognize where grief or where like your anxiety came from or where depression came from, typically it's always going to take you right back to something that you lost or someone you lost or a scenario or a situation in your life that has changed that you didn't want, you didn't agree to, you didn't expect. And that's kind of what it is. It's our expectations when we're going through life. Like you expect your people are going to live till they're in their 80s or 90s, and then it doesn't. They don't. Or you're going to carry this job or this career or whatever it is. And then that expectation is broken, you know, and there's a sense of loss in it. And then that can create the anxiety and depression and all these other emotions that we experience. And I think it's because when you're talking about that constriction, it's where is that energy going? Well, that energy isn't always going outside of ourselves. It's going within ourselves and becoming trapped. And then we don't know what to do with it because it's unseen. And if we're not diving deep within to go and analyze, why am I feeling this way? Or why has my mindset shifted, or my emotions have shifted, or whatever it is, it's really going within ourselves and saying, yeah, because you know what? My heart is feeling heavy. And now I'm feeling constricted in my identity, and I don't feel like I can show up. I don't feel like I'm worthy. And then my foundation is cracked. So when you really start to break it down, it brings this great awareness of saying, now if I know my heart hurts and my solar plexus is doing this and my root is doing that, we can heal all of that. And that's where the releasing of this energy and giving it a place to go and really allowing to get back out into space and the ether and wherever energy goes when we're not trapping it and holding on to it. And so just having that, like that expressive relationship with grief and not brushing it under the rug, but recognizing that we are grieving beings and we can lift ourselves up and out of that, but we have to have the awareness that we're grieving first.
I often like to think of grief almost as a process. It's just mm-hmm. part of the process of transition from one stage to another. And it really ties in with, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about how one of the biggest differences between this human physical reality that we have and when we're unembodied, right? When we're in our soul state is time, right? In the quantum realm and the spiritual realm, whatever you want to call it, everything's always happening right now. You know, the past, mm-hmm. present, future, it's all now. But here, because we have this element of time, because we have this stretch in between things, we get to experience the transitions. We get to experience those in-between gray spaces. And I think grief is really what exists in those gray spaces a lot of the time because of that transitioning process. And when we look at it that way, I think grief starts to become a tool because it really is this marker. In the same way that fear is a marker between where you've been before and where you could go if you step through that door, I think grief is also a marker of where you have been and where you're going now. The difference is that I think, like we were saying a second ago, when we're not in a conscious communication with our grief, grief can feel helpless. It can feel like you don't have a choice to move through that transition. But when we can take a conscious perspective on it, when we can really step back into, like you were saying, this empowered perspective of this is a time of change. This is a time of transition. There's an opportunity here to grow and to create something new. And I think that's something that for me in my own grieving process was so incredibly important, was this idea of you're not going to be able to fill that space perfectly. You're creating a new space. You're creating something new. And I think that's something that a lot of grieving people experience, especially at the start of that process, is there's this desire to fill that void, to recreate exactly what it was, to get it back the way it was. But you can't go backward in that process. It's a forward momentum emotion. It's pushing you into something new if you allow it to, right? It can stagnate and it can keep us stuck. But if we really allow that energy to move and to process and work with it, it can take us in new directions. And so thinking about whatever it is that you're grieving, right? For me, it was when I was 18, I had danced classical ballet for 16 years. That was my life. That was who I was. That was everything. And then I got sick and I couldn't do it anymore. And that process of having essentially my life kind of shifted out from under me was incredibly intense. And I spent a long time, I won't say too long because I think grief has its own process and timeline, but I spent a long time trying to get back to where I had been. And it really wasn't until I shifted out of that and stepped into what's new. If I let go of the expectation of having this back exactly the way it was, if I let go of that clinging to the past that grief tends to call us towards. If I let go of that, what's new? What can I create from this? What's the next step? And I think that's such a beautiful way of approaching grief for whatever the situation is letting go as hard as it is, finding whatever it looks like to you to let go of what was old so that you can make room for something new, knowing that that new thing is going to be different. It's going to be, by definition, something new. And I think that's one of the hardest, but also the most beautiful parts of grief. I remember talking to my mom about her grieving experience, and she said to me, one of the best and worst things about life is that it always keeps going. Meaning when you're in the hardest emotions, you're going to keep getting to the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. And I think when we're really deep in our grieving process, that can feel so hard because you almost just want time to pause. But again, that time, that stretch where we can experience that transition, that is a really beautiful gift because it's something that we don't get when we're in the spiritual realm. When we are unembodied, we don't get to witness the transition. We don't get to witness the in-between. And so I think grief is almost in some ways a reminder of that, a reminder of, look at all of the beauty that can exist within the cracks.
Yeah, and within that spectrum of grief, there's a lot of times where you start to heal other relationships because people will step up for you in a way that they might not have if you weren't going through this process of grief. You know, I remember when I was going through like my initial, when my son died and I was going through that with him, everyone came to my aid. Right. And even though I wasn't like in my full mind and like I was in bed or wherever I was at, I just remember the sense of community that showed up. And I thought, wow, like how amazing is that? Because when you're in that moment and people literally stop their life to come and take care of you and bring food for your family and do all these things, that is really what being a community is. That's what's being like having your tribe, having your family is about. Right. And, or even if it is something else, like you becoming sick and losing that, I'm sure there was a sense of support that came forward and was just like, okay, you may not be able to do this, but something different is going to come and evolve in your life. And then look where you are now, right? And so it's kind of like me looking back 10 years ago, I would have never thought I would be where I am today. But that was the catalyst for me to get where I am. And so if I would have ignored the whole transition of from that day to today, you know, I would have missed out on a lot of gifts in life and a lot of transitions that were really positive. And I think too, like the thing is not to become a chronic griever. And I talked about that in one of our other podcasts is that being a chronic griever is when you can't release the hurt, the pain of grief, right? Like it's as if it happened today. Our body will continue to process as if we're living it every day. And that is where healing through the grief is so important. And if you look at like you're talking about time, you know, everyone goes like time heals. What I've learned is it's not that time heals, it's the healing that you do within the time. So time can really just go, the longevity of time can last you 20, 30 years of grieving. If you're not healing within that time, it can consume your entire life. But if you're able to see and recognize where the healing is through that journey, then yes, you have this opportunity to really grow into a different version of yourself and carry those that you love with you, or the opportunities that were lost, you can see that wasn't for my highest good. That isn't a part of my life's plan. That was a moment in my life, a chapter or a whole different book, if you will, but it's okay because I have pivoted this way and everything is in alignment for me here. And so it is, it's just right. It's just seeing things from a different perspective.
I love that idea as a catalyst, because I think that's so important and it's so true, because grief in a lot of ways, it is that almost that dichotomy of you can stay stuck or you can keep moving, you can stay in fear and holding on to what you had, or you can look at what's ahead. There is this inherent choice that comes with grief. And I think it's also really important to, acknowledge the fact that there is a time for staying in the grief and acknowledging it, right? We have to be willing to sit with that long enough that we can actually feel it and we can acknowledge it and we can process it. You know, it in shamanic perspectives, we have those spirits of the West, the water that calls us into the deep and into those depths to find out how far we really go in that. And I think that's a really beautiful analogy for grief, is letting yourself kind of sink into those waters a little bit, because it takes so much energy when you're grieving to stay afloat. And I find that often the first step to healing grief is letting yourself go, letting yourself experience it. Not so deep that you can't get yourself out, but deep enough that you understand what it is you're actually feeling. Because we spend so long fighting against that and spending so much energy that it almost just drives it deeper. But when we can let ourselves acknowledge it, that's when we have all of our energy back. That's when we kind of take that power back from the grief itself and pull it into ourselves, so that we have the ability to make that choice of, no, this is a catalyst. This is an opportunity. This is a time when change can occur, but it's your empowered choice that allows you to do that. And so grief as a catalyst is a really beautiful way of putting that, because it really does tell you, you have an opportunity here. It's like the spark that can light that fire, but you have to be willing to keep it burning, to keep moving. And it, I really do think it is. I had a mentor who used to tell me it's moment to moment work. It doesn't happen in the big moments. It's not, you know, grief comes on us suddenly, right? We lose things in an instant. But the healing of it, the moving through it, the processing of it, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It is moment by moment by moment, making those choices, choosing to keep yourself uplifted, choosing to acknowledge what you're feeling, choosing to believe that there's something on the other side of it. It's a million tiny choices that add up to being able to sit where you are and look back and say, 10 years ago, I never would have imagined, right? 15 years ago, I never would have imagined. It's those tiny choices that lead you to the person that you're becoming. But we have to be willing to make those tiny choices. And I think when I work with clients who are grieving, that's something that I try and emphasize is grief isn't about having big results. Grief is the tiny victories. Grief is being able to get out of bed in the morning as part of your healing process. Grief is being able to do that fire ceremony and actually burn the piece of paper. Grief is being able to wake up and feel that little teeny tiny breath of inspiration for the first time, right? Grief is those little moments. And I think when we're healing from grief, when we're processing, we have a tendency to push those to the side. But those are really, those are the powerful parts of processing and healing grief, are those moments where there's like a little pinprick in that sheen that's been weighing on you. There's just a little tiny something that tells you you've moved something. Energy has shifted. You've released a little more. And if we can use that as impetus to keep moving, as motivation of look at that tiny pinprick. Can I make another one? Can I make another one? Can I make another one? It's not all going to come off at once. Mm-hmm. But those little tiny pinpricks are so important. And I think it's really important to keep awareness of those. And so one thing that I love to do, one of the actual tangible techniques that I love for working through grief, is keeping a journal of those moments. Some people call them glimmers. So as opposed to triggers, they're glimmers of, you know, I like moments that. Of, I know, isn't that cute? Moments of inspiration, or I got out of bed today, or I actually took a shower for the first time, or I caught myself laughing. That was something for me that was a big one, is I would catch myself smiling without realizing that I had been smiling, or I would catch myself mid-laugh. And I still remember the joy of those moments because I made it such an intentional thing to find gratitude for those. And even now, you know, 5 years later, I still get teary when I think about those moments, because those really were those first glimmers of something new is coming, something is happening, something's moving, something's releasing, and they're so powerful. And so I think keeping a notebook of that, because when we're stuck in grief, we have a tendency to want to hold on to all the hard moments. But when we're processing grief, if we can hold on to all those good moments, all the moments where something has shifted, those little glimmers, it's so powerful because it keeps us moving. It keeps us in that motivated state to do that moment to moment work.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, because our brain tends to hold on to all the trauma and all of the hard things, you know, like even when you're doing like inner child work, and it's like, we're going to think about the positive. And how often people go, I don't have any positive memories from my childhood. And it's like, but we all do. But it's because the brain likes to hold on to the hard things, right? And so that's a great way of remembering. The other part that I really like too is, I was working actually with a client the other day, and her husband died a year and a half ago. And she was talking about like how she just felt stuck over the last few days. And we talked about, you know what, when you have that moment, give yourself like a time limit. Okay. And it doesn't mean like you can't go over that time or anything, but it kind of just gives you a gauge for the moment. Because she's like in her second year or going into her second year. And so I was telling her, like, if you wake up and you feel like today's just not the day, give yourself the permission to like, okay, today's the day I'm just going to be in bed. Okay. That's your day. Tomorrow is a new day. I get to wake up and know that I grieved all day yesterday. Or this morning, I'm going to give myself 15 minutes. I'm going to feel everything I need to feel in this 15 minutes or this 30 minutes. But when that time is up, then there's this energetic shift to where now I can get my day going. And she was just like, wow, that's actually a really good idea, because she goes, I can let myself sit in grief all day long. and cancel all of my plans. And, you know, like she had a lunch date with her girlfriends and she was like, I canceled it because today is just heavy. And I said, and that's okay to give yourself permission for that. But you don't want to miss out on all of those opportunities every day because of grief, right? And then I did this really beautiful reading for her from like connecting her to her husband. And it like literally came through all the things that she needed to hear. And so for her, when she was walking out of here and she was just kind of like, I feel so much lighter. And it's like, yeah, because we have these tools that we can use and we don't think about them. We just really feel stuck. It's like our root is just grounded, right? And we're just stuck in this one space and it doesn't have to be like that. I also really liked, I had this big visual when you were talking about the spirits of the West and the water. And then it was like, oh yeah, the cycle of, so it's like you go through the, from the spirits of the West and you're diving deep into your emotions and deep into your grief or whatever we're feeling and experiencing. And then we go to the spirits of the South where we're burning that and we're igniting that new flame. And then we go back up to North and then North is grounding that energy. And then that brings us up to West or to East where we have new beginnings. And this whole visual, this cycle of our spirit team just really came through when you were speaking about that. And I was like, exactly. That is the grief wheel. We don't look at it like that. We want to talk about all these other emotions we do. But that literally is the grief wheel in which we should be flowing with because it is so supportive and it you can literally see the shift in where you are. Even if you go around and around several times, you know, and that's okay too. Because every new beginning is going to bring you back to a new ending. And that just cycle just continues.
And I think that's, you know, that is a really important part of working with grief too, because, you know, we talk about, there's that phrase, as above, so below, as within, so without, right? This idea that our external reality is a mirror of our internal, we're a mirror of the universe, et cetera, et cetera. But when we think about grief and how grief is, like we were saying, it's a reflection of a transition. It's a reflection of something has changed, something has been lost, and we are transitioning to the next stage. That grief is an inherent emotion. It's part of our nature as human beings. And when we connect to actual nature outside of ourselves, that nature is a reflection of the divine. Right? That nature, the tree outside, the wind that blows, the soil, the water, the fire, whatever it is, these are reflections of the divine, of nature with a capital N. And so when we can engage with those elements in grief, like you were saying, with this idea of a grief wheel, right? In shamanism, we talk about the medicine wheel all of the time with the different four directions, but that idea of using it as a grief wheel of how can that east wind blow away the cobwebs, clear out a new space, blow away what I call the spiritual dust that tends to settle on us when we're stuck in that stagnant energy. How can we connect with that energy of a new dawn, a new day, the fact that every single day we have an opportunity to start again, like you were saying, whether it's we set aside yesterday for grieving and today's starting fresh, whatever it is for you, how can we connect with that dawn? How can we be like that phoenix and allow ourselves to be burned away so that we can rise from those ashes and be born anew so that we can experience something new? And then always, how can we come back to that rooted nature of nature? You know, in a lot of Native American tribes, they call trees the standing beings because they just are there. That is what they do. They stand, they exist, they are. And that idea of being so firmly rooted, being so firmly present in our experience, knowing that, you know, no matter how much the wind might shake the branches, no matter how deeply they might have to bend, they are rooted. And that idea of how can we remain rooted in the midst of our grief? Because that can be really difficult sometimes, right? Yeah. Grief feels like it shakes our foundation. And a lot of times it does. But then we have to find that balance again of how can we root even deeper? And I love this idea of cosmic balance, right? I know you love talking about the balance of divine and divine masculine and divine feminine, but this idea of we are designed, whether we're talking about homeostasis physically or finding our psychological mental balance or energetically, that yin yang symbol, whatever it is, we are designed to come back into balance. And what balance looks like when we're not grieving is very different than what balance looks like while we're grieving. Because again, if you have grief come through and shake your foundation, the amount of rooting that you're going to need to do to stay stable is going to be a different amount than if you weren't grieving. But thinking about, what do you need to come back to balance? Do you need more of that fire energy? Do you need more of the depth of the water? Do you need deeper roots? What do you need? And I love that idea of using a grief wheel or a medicine wheel as kind of a perspective on that, of giving yourself a tool to look at. These are the four elements that go into being balanced, being at one with the universe, being aligned, being connected. Which one is out of balance? Which one do I need more of? And which tool in that medicine wheel, that medicine bundle, can I use to then process through grief? Because the thing is no grief is exactly alike, right? Grief is never simple, ever, but it also has so many layers, right? We have the grief of losing someone we love, losing pieces of ourselves. We have the grief of losing someone that maybe we weren't close to. And that brings up a lot of complicated emotions, right? There's a lot of times grief is coupled with something else, with sadness, with fear, with anger, with whatever it is. And when those complicated emotions arise, it can be hard to find a straight path forward because it feels like there's so many different pathways calling you of, I wish I had gotten to say this thing, or I never did this thing, or I wish this hadn't happened, or whatever it is that grief is kind of pulling you off to the side. But that's when we come back to, what do we need? What's our experience? What's going to carry us forward in that sense of balance? I was telling our students the other day, we almost have to be a little bit selfish when it comes to our healing. And I don't love that word, but it's important because no one else can do this for us, right? We can't, we're not going to heal by looking at how other people are feeling because of our grieving process. We're not going to heal by saying, oh, I should be doing better as a mother or as a boss or as a coworker or as a whatever it is. We're not going to heal by trying to uphold all of our responsibilities and take care of everyone else's emotions. We're going to heal by looking at ourselves and saying, what do I need? How am I going to come back into balance? How can I walk this path forward so that I can be the best, most uplifted, most empowered version of me? I always like to say that we're always waiting for someone to give us permission to do the things we need to do. And a lot of times waiting for permission looks like waiting for someone else to come in. But when we realize that we have that power, we can give ourselves that permission to find that path forward, to work with the medicine wheel, to let go of external expectations and really align with what's calling you forward. What is that main path forward for you in your grieving process? And what tools, techniques, mentors, community, what do you need to keep moving forward on that? There really is a roadmap to healing through grief. We just have to be willing to feel into it and watch for it.
Yeah, that's being on the hero's journey, like the hermit phase of life, is we can only do that journey on our own. And that's not something you can take anybody with. You can't have company, you know, and we seek external validation or permission. And we need to go within and ask ourselves and give ourselves the permission to do the work. My mom is, I would say, she is a chronic griever. And I had this amazing message come through one day because my mom, my dad died when I was 4. My mom was 22 years old. I was 4. My brother was 3, and she was 8 months pregnant. And so that is a major loss, a major cycle of grief, right? I mean, right there, you're 22 years old, 3 kids. Well, the message that I received from her not too long ago, so we're talking 45 years now, was that on a soul agreement level, my parents agreed for that to happen. And that was supposed to be the catalyst for my mom to awaken. And instead of awakening in that, she went on this detour through grief and has held onto that for 45 years. And so when I told her, I said, Mom, each time you go through a new tragedy, so to speak, a new level of grief in life, that is another opportunity for you to awaken in your soul's journey. Instead, she pulls the blankets up and she dives deeper into her grief and literally has been stuck in this grief process for all these years, my whole life. And I wish that that moment that that message came through was this awakening to her to say, oh my gosh, yes, but it didn't happen. But for me, I saw it as, yeah, we have this like this soul journey that we're on, our journey, right? And when these pivots happen, we have the opportunity to either go off on a different detour that offers different experiences, different griefs, different lessons in life that we have added to our life purpose. And so we can continue to take those detours, or we can move through the grief process or move through whatever it is that we're going through in this awareness of knowing I can go left or I can go right. But that's really going to always bring me back to that center point where we are grounded, where we are walking in our truth. And so we, as humans, we tend to take these detours all the time, adding new lessons, adding new sufferings, adding new pains. And yes, there are awarenesses in that and learnings and everything, but we create so much of our own suffering because we choose to divert ourselves from the pain versus going into it. And I think when we can face the pain sometimes and move through that, it actually lessens the amount of added lessons we have to take on in life, right? And so where that suffering is and bringing in awareness, bringing in that I got the strength to do this, because we do. As human beings, we are strong. We are strong people, but we tend to lean into our shadow self or the darker side of ourself or those low vibration of emotions instead of standing up and saying, I got this. And I was talking to my husband last night and I said, you know, every time in life I've been told you can't do this, I've always proven, let me show you how I can, right? And I've done that my whole life. Like my son was born deaf. Okay, you know what? Let me learn a language. And not only am I going to learn it, I'm also going to become an interpreter for 25 years. Oh, you're diagnosed with this. Oh, okay. Well, you're telling me I can't do this. Let me show you how I can. And I think when we can really lean into that, the empowerment of whatever it is we're facing, that is a trajectory that pushes us forward, right? Because I think that's when we're really connecting to our higher self and our divine purpose of why we're here is pulling ourselves forward and allowing ourselves to be pulled instead of fighting against it and leaning backwards. And then it's like actually seeing like feet being dragged through the dirt. No, let's stand up, because no matter what, we're going to move through these emotions. So it's like we can make the conscious choice. And I'm not talking like as soon as we're hit with it, give some time, give permission to feel grief. I'm talking more like a year, 2 years, 3 years out, you know, that it really can put you in a different direction in life. And it can be a beautiful experience when you allow it to become, because no matter what, like I said, we're going through it. So we might as well try to make the best out of it versus thinking we're always stuck in this grief pool.
And I love what you said about that being part of the hero's journey, because it really is so reflective of how much fear can come up when we're first starting to grieve. And fear is an incredibly powerful emotion, right? Most of the time, fear is the one that causes us to take those detours because we're so afraid of feeling the depths of our own emotions. We're so afraid of what's going to happen if I let myself be open to that, if I let myself kind of sink into it. And that's where things like having a relationship with your spirit team, having tools that you can work with, whether it's, you know, the medicine wheel or Reiki or Oracle and tarot cards or whatever it is for you, having those tools that you know you can call on. Maybe that's having a mentor, having someone that you can come to, having a space where you can be really open about, this is exactly how I'm feeling, without feeling guilty or without feeling overwhelmed, knowing that you are safe and held while you're experiencing that. It's so important because it is this process of knowing that eventually, whether it's a month after it happens, 3 months after it happens, a year, 5 years, whenever it is for you, that moment is going to come where you can feel it in yourself. You can feel that shift of, okay, it's time to get up now. It's time to do that next step. And that's usually when the deepest fear comes in, because that is, it can feel like it's that last moment of what your brain is really saying is, okay, it's time to let go now. It's time to move on. And that's difficult. That is an incredibly difficult choice to make. And that's where we go back to letting go doesn't mean forgetting. Letting go doesn't mean, you know, letting go completely. It just means claiming your power back, calling it back in so that you can move forward as your fullest self. That experience, that memory, that whatever it is, can always be a part of you if you want it to be. But letting go, taking that step when we can feel it in ourselves, right? Everybody has had that experience of that energetic current when it says, okay, it's time to get up now. It's time to move. It's time to go. When we can make that choice and we can say, okay, I'm claiming my power back. I'm stepping back into that. I will take that first step. We're not letting go completely. We're taking our power back so that we have that power. We have that motivation. We have that ability to exercise our free will and keep moving forward. And I think that's something that's so important about grief. And you said it so beautifully with your mom, is that spirit's never going to interfere with our free will. Even in the process of grief, even if we're on that precipice of an awakening, even if we have this catalyst for change right in front of us, we are the ones ultimately that have to make the choice to accept that, to take that, to make the leap. And if we don't, that's okay, right? We have a choice. And I think that's something that's really hard to wrap our minds around, is you always have a choice and you're allowed to make either choice. There's one that was, you know, we could call it predestined. There's one that's in your soul contract that is in your soul's highest interest, but you can make a choice. You can take the other path and you'll get where you need to go. It might take a little longer. It might look a little different than your soul maybe thought it was going to, but you can make that choice. And that can feel really overwhelming. But at the end of the day, I think it's really empowering of knowing that at the end of the day, our healing is our choice. Which direction our path takes is our choice, because we have that free will. And so that moment of letting go, that moment of waking up, that moment of getting out of bed, whether it's literal or metaphorical, that moment is the moment when we get to choose what we do with our free will in the face of grief. And I think that choice is the most powerful one that you're ever going to make, because that choice is really saying, am I choosing to move forward or am I choosing to stay stuck? And once you make that choice, that momentum has been set, right? Those die have been cast, if you will. Like, that momentum's moving. You're moving in that direction now. And there is almost that feeling of, you can feel it when you've made that choice. It might not make everything easy, but it's easier. There's like a tipping point, and you make that choice and you call back your power and you step into your free will and you say, okay, I'm choosing for this to be a catalyst of change. Let's see where we go. And then, like you said, you let yourself be carried on that momentum, because you're not doing this alone, right? You have the community around you. You have all of the strength that you have in you as a human and as a spiritual being. You also have your spirit team. You have nature. You are never alone. And then you, of course, you have places like Reiki Cafe community, where there are more than 4,000 people who are willing to hold space for you, who are here for you, to witness you, to hold space for you. You have people like you and myself and Christine who will be your mentor, who will guide you through that process. There's so much support available to you every single moment. But again, it's only if you're willing to use that free will and step into it.
Yeah, beautifully said. And definitely with our free will, and stepping into that, because I think it's kind of, for a lot of people, we don't even look at it like that. You know, we just think like, well, life is happening and we just have to go with the punches. And it's like, free will is such a powerful momentum of movement. And it is like the moment you can feel it. You do feel that energetic wave. You do feel that shift happening, whether you choose to lean into that or you choose to ignore it, is your free will. That's your choice to make, right? And so if you choose to lean into the change that's coming, knowing, like you're saying, that there's still going to be pain there, right? Because life does, there's still pain. But it goes, it's only in the moment. And that's a thing. It's like, if you think about the worst day of your life, and then here you are, how many years later, that was a moment in time that we can reflect on and see the resilience of ourselves. You can see that path and you can see like how far you've grown, how far you've moved forward, or, you know, just releasing and regaining your power. And I think that right there is the most like powerful part of being in our human experience, is that we don't have to stay stuck. It's not in our birth, like it's our birthright to say, I am going to move beyond that or through that and around that and above that, however it is in your journey to do it. But it is moving on from it, because when we do that, it just shows us how deep we are as a spiritual being in this human vessel. And so when we can tap into that energy and recognizing that we are an expansive being that is like in this little body, but we're not just this, right? We are all things. And so for me, recognizing that and seeing the change and the growth through life. And I've witnessed that in my children that have, you know, that went through the loss of their brother. And I've witnessed that through so many friends and families in their own journey. And I just am like always in awe of watching people when they can grow beyond their pain and their suffering, and they have that awareness, or how we hold on to things like for so long. And you just have this moment of, wow, I am creating that suffering for myself. And I don't mean so much like the death of a loved one. I mean more of a divorce or a breakup or whatever it is. And it's like, we can hold on so tightly to so much. And then when we open our hands, we open our hearts, and we're like, I can let that go. And it literally like frees us. It's like spreading our wings. It's, you know, taking that energetic like jacket off and just dropping it and letting it be. And it's still there. We still have the memories of it, but we can choose how that memory shows up in our life. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are we cutting those cords and releasing the attachments to it and becoming the observer of the experience versus like meeting someone and go, oh yeah, I lost this person. I lost that. I've been sick. I've, you know, and I think when we do that, it is such a heavy energetic weight that we carry. And so for me, watching people grow is such an empowering thing to witness, because I can too take that energy and lean into it and give thanks to their growth, because now I can also grow beyond my own limitations, right? Which is a great thing when we can witness it in others. It's not about envy. It's not about jealousy. It's like, if you can, I can. And I want that because I don't want to be stuck here anymore. And we all have our own things. And so when we're growing through it, we get to be witnessed and we get to witness others. And it's a beautiful cycle.
I love what you said. If you can choose how that memory shows up in your life, that's such an empowered perspective. And I think it's so important because it is those little reminders, right? I remember when I was in the midst of my grieving process, that idea of every day, I would tell myself, you're not always going to feel this way. One day this will be a memory. And that sounds so simple, but that perspective is so empowering because it's a reminder that this is transient. This is just a drop in the bucket. This is just a moment in time. And eventually you're going to move through it. It's like a promise to yourself. That idea that the words that we speak are contracts with ourselves. When you say it's not always going to be this hard, you're going to have a day where you wake up and don't feel this way. It's a promise to yourself. It's a promise to life. It's a promise to the divine. If I can feel that momentum, I can see where you're taking me, and I'm willing to go along for the ride. And that's such a beautiful place to be. So I would love to wrap up today's conversation with asking you, if you could give yourself at the start of your grieving process, or anyone listening who's at the start of their grieving process, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Feel it. Yeah. Feel it. Feel all the emotions, feel everything you need to feel, show up in your rawness, because that's the biggest gift you can give to yourself. Like I said, it's going to show up at some point anyway. So when we, in the very beginning, can really lean into the pain and lean into that suffering and that heartache, it heals in a way that is just so profound. And instead of trying to mask it, cover it, or anything like that, like, no, just feel your pain and allow yourself, give yourself the permission to go through the process of grief so that grief can show its own diamond in the rough, because it's there. It is there. So when you can find that, it's a beautiful thing to experience. It's a hard thing to experience, but you're going to go through it anyway. So what would yours be?
It would be really close to the same. My version of that would be letting yourself fall apart a little bit. I think we have so much resistance to, I don't want to say being broken because we're not broken, but maybe appearing broken. I think grief, it really does pull us apart. It takes everything that we thought we knew and it kind of scatters it on the floor. And we have so much resistance to that moment of feeling torn apart, when in reality, it is so important and it's so beautiful because it allows us to rebuild something new. It allows us this opportunity to really look at everything that's within us and say, how can I make this whole? What's the new version of this? I'm always reminded of that Japanese art of fixing broken plates with gold, of that idea of that crack is where the light gets in. That moment that you let yourself fall apart, that's when something new comes in. And so as scary as it is, and as hard as it is, and as isolating as it can feel, let yourself fall apart because you're not broken. Right? You're not broken, even if it feels like you are. That inherent state of wholeness is going to shine through. It's going to call you back. You will be reborn again at some point, but you can't be reborn, right? You can't rise out of the ashes if you haven't let yourself burn for a minute. So let that happen, knowing that it's the start of something new, I think is what I would say.
Yeah. And going back to the Reiki principles of just for today. So just knowing just for today, you can feel whatever it is you need to feel. And just for tomorrow, you can shift that and feel whatever that day brings as well.
That's beautiful. There have been so many moments of wisdom and little notes that I've taken, phrases that have been said. I feel like this has been such a powerful conversation today. So thank you for sharing the space with me, Chantel. And of course, thank you to everyone who's listening along. I hope that this has brought you some comfort, some insight, some inspiration, at the very least shown you that, like Chantel was saying, it is possible to move through that grieving process in a really conscious and empowering way. If you're in the middle of your own grieving process, or you know someone who is, and you would like support, send Chantel or myself a message. We are always more than willing to hold space for you, to talk with you, to witness you in that process. Know that you have Reiki Cafe community on Facebook. That's, again, a 4,000 member strong community who are all willing to step up and hold you in that you are never alone because you are part of this community. So thank you, as always, for tuning in. Thank you, Chantel, for sharing space with me today.
Yes. Thank you for sharing this space with us and with myself as well. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you all, and we will see you next time.
Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University, watch our videos on YouTube, or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.